Said, amen, amen. We just got, for those of you that are joining us for the first time this morning, welcome to Grace Bible Church. We are just closing off a series called Signs of the Times, and we jumped into the scripture and looked at what are the things that are happening today and how do they relate to biblical prophecy. And this, we closed that out last week. How many of you enjoyed that series, Signs of the Times, that we just finished? Wow, that was, but I'll give you another chance. How many of you liked that series last week or last couple of weeks? Yeah, that was. And those of you online, thanks for joining us. We are jumping into a brand new series called Better Together. Better Together. Could everyone say that? Better Together. And we're through this whole season of social distancing, it's very easy to go from social distancing to social isolation. And we don't want to head down that path. And building relationships is like a muscle. How many of you that are married or that you have significant others understand that relationships, healthy relationships take work? Right? Healthy relationships take work. And when you don't exercise that muscle, just like a regular muscle that goes into atrophy for it not being used, relationships can do the same thing. And it's where I feel as a church, as a community, Maui in general, and even our nation, that we are at a place where the danger is that we've gotten so used to social distancing that it's very easy to slip into isolation. And so this whole series, Better Together, focuses on the commands that God has given us and the benefits of community, as well as what are the hindrances that keep us from engaging in community. So are you guys ready? Are you guys excited to jump into this series? Not only are we going to do the series, but we're going to provide a whole bunch of groups to be a part of, from archery, outdoors, and just activities, connection groups, to hiking and tennis, things to do together just to get to know each other, as well as seminars on finance, investing, parenting, teens. How many of you need God's grace in parenting teenagers, and marriage? How many of you need grace in relating to your spouse? I think every single one of us who are married need that. And so we're going to be jumping into these classes. You can sign up for those classes during the next several months as we head into Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I was on the phone with a person from our church, and she's one of our small group leaders, and she was telling me that she had just talked to a close friend, and that friend was telling her that she hasn't been to church in a while, and not being engaged in community with other believers, she felt like everything was just coming down on them, finances, stuff with their kids, her marriage was just, you know, in a place of tension. And as she was telling me that, I said, did you invite her out to your group? And she was like, yeah, I know. She said that she's going to jump back into church and stuff. And as she was talking to me on the phone, I was just on YouTube while she was talking to me. And I've been getting into hunting. So my time on YouTube has been watching animals on video. And it just so happened as she was talking about this that I was watching this video, and I thought, this is a great picture of what it's like when you isolate yourself from community. So I want you to watch this video. So this is one lion against 20 hyenas.
It's impossible to fight them all at once. He can't keep them at bay for much longer. He's tiring fast. His ally, Tartu, has heard the commotion. Now the odds have changed. finished. Even for 20 hyenas, a pair of male lions is too much to take on. Red is lucky.
Everyone say better together. How many of you can identify with that lion? That sometimes when you isolate and you separate yourself from the church and from small group or from community, that you can take on one thing, you can take on another thing. Maybe it's finances, maybe it's like a fight with your spouse, maybe it's something that's happening with your kids. But after a while, these things add up and you just need help. You just need community. And how many of you have ever experienced just that one phone call from a friend at the right time, or just plugging into a small group right after a hard week, or coming to church right after a week that's been a terrible week, and you get re-energized, you get strengthened, and you can fight, you're strengthened to take on the hyenas of the week to come. How many of you have experienced that? And what we want to do in this series is focus on the benefits of community. Say better together. Let's read the scripture at the count of three. One, two, three. For two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. Satan's strategy in all of our lives is to steal, kill, and destroy. And the way that he does that is not when we're plugged into community, but when we're in isolation. His strategy is to divide and to conquer. Let's read the scripture together at the count of three. One, two, three. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. You know, right now in our community, right now in our country, we're facing one of the greatest cultural divisions that we've ever seen since the Civil War. Even in our church, we have people that are Democrats, we have people that are Republicans, we have people that are for masks, we have people that are against masks. We have people that are not afraid, but can't come to church because they have people that are at risk in their homes. We have other people that are in church and completely nothing seems to affect them. And we have people from every single part of the spectrum. So how can we as a church represent unity and represent love and represent trust amidst all of our differences in a world that's so divided? God calls us to discern between good and evil. Let's read this scripture together. Let's read the scripture together. One, two, three. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good from evil. So discernment comes from a constant, everyone say constant, a constant and consistent practice of discerning between what is good and what is evil. With so much confusion in our country, with so much differing opinions, how do we live in a way that's wise, where we know the difference between good and evil? Wisdom is the tension between these two extremes. Wisdom's the tension between two extremes. Our enemy uses extremes not only to bring division and strife, but he uses these extremes to bring fear into our lives, to drive us into isolation, not just isolation, but depression that leads to death. God never intended us to walk alone. Let's read the scripture in Ecclesiastes that talks about wisdom. Ecclesiastes 7:18. Let's read it at the count of three. One, two, three. It is good to grasp the one and not let go of the other. Whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. It's good to grasp the one and not let go of the other. Wisdom is to walk in the balance or in the tension of two extremes. Do you know that God is pro-choice? If God wasn't pro-choice, he wouldn't have put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden and given Adam a choice. God is pro-choice. God is also pro-life. And he's the perfect balance of walking the tension between pro-choice and pro-life, and he's in the middle of the extremes. Just because you're pro-life doesn't mean somebody that's pro-choice is your enemy. Just because you're pro-choice doesn't mean that someone that's pro-life is your enemy. Wisdom is walking in the balance of the two. Shucks. Melody. She just... Do you have a 30 seconds? Could you and Mosi come to the front, please? I didn't tell them I was going to do this, obviously, because she left it. I had to catch her before she left. Come to the front. God, in his wisdom, brought these two people together. Two extreme opposites. Mosi is tall. Melody is not. Melody is beautiful. Mosi is handsome. Both physically, they're completely opposite, male and female. What about personality-wise? Who's the organizer? You're both organizers. Who's messy in your family? The kids. Who is more spontaneous? Both of you are planners. Who's the spender? Who's the saver? Who likes the toilet paper over the top? Who likes the toilet paper under the bottom?
Yeah, I don't care.
Who squeezes the toothpaste from the middle?
We started different toothpastes now.
This right here is a picture of God's purpose for difference, for extreme opposites. Because when you put two extreme opposites together, it correctly reflects the image of God. God made male, female. He made them together in his image, in his likeness. He made them. And what is the product? When you take two extreme opposites, except planning, but you take these two extreme opposites, put them together with trust and love. Mosiah, why don't you come in the front? And Melia, come to the front. This is a product of unity. This is a product of communion between opposites, between extreme opposites. Isn't this a beautiful family? And because of their unity, complete opposite in unity, there is fruit. God said, be fruitful and multiply the earth. It takes union to have fruit. Multiply the earth, subdue it, and they are a reflection of the unity of two opposites. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Why don't you give them a hand? You can go, and you can use the bathroom now. Sorry for... This is the way that God uses extreme differences. With love and with trust, you see beauty. And what the enemy does is he takes extreme opposites and he uses it to bring division, he uses it to bring strife, he uses it to bring fear. And the church is the one place where we can take different things and make something beautiful through the blood of Jesus Christ and through what he did on the cross. Amen? Grace Bible Church is a very unique church, and it's just the way that God made us. But on our staff, you can see white people like Jake and Andrea, Hollies, and Jerry, kind of. You see Hawaiians like Shalice and Zach. You see the Orientals, like me, Pastor Lance, and my dad, and then the token Filipino, Leilani. You have to have the Filipino on staff. But we make, it's a very diverse staff, a very diverse church. If you look around, the church is very different, but we all love each other and we trust, and I believe that we're a good reflection of who Jesus Christ is. That's what God wants us to represent in this world. It's not just grace. It's not just truth. It's both held in tension. It's not just forgiveness. It's not just justice. It's both held in tension. Wisdom is to hold to one, not let go of the other. Amen? Amen? Amen. Satan uses extremes to divide. God uses extremes to bring balance and harmony. What I want to draw our attention to today is where in our culture we have lost the balance and beauty of the tension between two extremes. And this is a table. You can go to the next slide. You have to look at the message and the motive of the message. So in media, these are some headlines. What we can learn from the 1918 second wave of the Mexican flu. I just took these straight off of a media website. Another one, 20% of grocery workers test positive and are asymptomatic with COVID. How many of you, does that spark peace in your heart when you read something like that? That 20% of all the people in the grocery stores are asymptomatic and positive COVID? How many of you, that just makes you want to go shopping? Doctors say stay inside for Halloween. The U.S. surpasses 9 million, driven by the silent epidemic of asymptomatic people. Isn't that so beautifully written? 9 million driven by the silent epidemic of asymptomatic people. The person sitting next to you could be a part of that silent epidemic of asymptomatic. Look at the person sitting next to you and tell the person sitting next to you, I'm not scared of you. What's the motive behind all of these headlines? The motive is profit. The motive is money. And everybody knows that. But we've gone from an information-based society to an attention-driven economy. This one news company, I won't say its name, but it made $2.73 billion in advertisement. For them to advertise, they need attention. And nothing gets attention better than fear. The motive is fear, to induce fear, to get attention, to sell ads. That's the motive. And we have to understand that when we watch the news. News no longer is information. It's trying to get attention to sell ads. It's a business. Right? We have to understand that. And so, are any of these things wrong? Is the business bad for doing this? Now, there's a lot of debate about that. But I can just say that it's a business, and they have to do what they have to do to survive. They have no incentive to tell you to relax. There's no incentive for them to tell you to relax. So if you're watching news a lot, or you're on your smartphones and watching, reading headlines, there's no incentive that anybody has to make you feel peaceful. The person responsible for your peace is you. And wisdom is walking between the balance of what the news is telling you and doing your own research and your own homework to get the other side. Should we ignore this and let go of this? No, because a lot of this stuff is true. But we need to find what the other side is saying, and that's not going to come spoon-fed to us. We have to go and look for it. The real data is that increased infections, but not increases in deaths. Death suicides in Hawaii has outpaced COVID deaths. That just happened this past month. Child abuse, domestic violence, divorce has increased, and so has a lot of other really bad things. There's no incentive to get that information out. That's something every single one of us have to take the responsibility for, but I'm going to do it for us today. Is that okay? So as I'm putting this out there, the proclivity that we as human beings have is if there's anything that is opposite to what we hear and what we believe, we automatically make it an enemy. Wisdom is to understand that there can be two truths held in tension. So I want you to exercise that this morning. Can you do that for me? Amen. We're wise. So next slide. Sorry. How many of you have seen this slide? That our president is saying that we've turned the corner, but everywhere over every media outlet is saying that COVID cases are more than ever before. How many of you have seen this graph in the media and in the headlines? All you see is this graph of having 100,000 cases in a day. And that is true. How many of you have seen this graph? Can go to the next one. How many of you have seen this graph of the daily deaths that are plateauing? And that as cases are rising because of increased testing, we haven't seen an increased correlation in deaths. How many of you have seen this on the news? So this is another truth that's to be held in tension with the first truth. And if you have increased cases because of increased testing and the same amount of deaths, what does that tell you about the mortality rate of the virus? It's going down. The disease is not as deadly as we initially thought that it was. Can go to the next slide. This is Hawaii. These are the statistics for Hawaii. And Hawaii, just from yesterday, October 30th, these are the statistics. In the beginning, there was no testing, so we couldn't tell how much COVID cases we had. It ramped up in July and August and September. It dropped, and it's leveled off all the way till today, till yesterday. You can go to the next slide. Now, all the data that we get, we have to look at the data with discernment. So in the beginning, we saw very little testing, and we saw like one death per day. This is the standard. This is the 7-day moving average. And recently, you've seen an uptick, but that's because more people are getting tested as well. And that average is one person per day. Go to the next slide. These are the hospitalizations of COVID. And this, you can get all of this off the Hawaii COVID site. You can look at the data. This is all I look at when I make decisions. And when we as a church decide to shut things down or open or have a campaign to open up more spaces for community, we're looking at these numbers. We're not looking at the news. If numbers start to increase of hospitalizations and deaths because of COVID, we are very ready to scale back and to go back to online service, go back to outside service. We're ready to make decisions based on facts, but not on emotion and not on one side of the story. So this is a Hawaii COVID ICU hospitalizations. You can see the red is all the ICU rooms that are being taken up with COVID patients. And you can see on the top the amount of ICU beds that are being taken for non-COVID patients. That's the blue. What do you see the trend happening in Hawaii right now? There's less ICU patients, but there's a greater statistic of people who are in ICU now than there was in July. There's more people that are dying or more people in critical condition now than in July. But there's way less COVID patients. What does that tell us? That people are getting sick, but they're not getting sick of COVID. I mean, COVID's still there, but let's go to the next slide. This is a slide that shows when Hawaii did testing on the H3 highway on Oahu. There was more testing that was done than ever before, and there was an increase in COVID cases, so that they were telling us that there were 7,000 cases, active cases in Hawaii. What they found out was that the testing was faulty, and in a day we went from 6,000 active cases down to less than 2,000 because the testing was faulty. So even the data can be wrong, and we need to look at it with discernment. So you're not going to see this stuff in the media because this doesn't get attention. You're probably getting bored right now. But this tells you that it's not as bad as what the media is telling you. This is something that's concerning to me, is the next slide. This comes from the CDC, and this marks how many people are dying of suicide in every state. In Hawaii, the total number of suicides in 2020 till October, till yesterday, is 227 suicides in Hawaii. The amount of COVID deaths is 215. So we have an outpaced suicide rate than people dying of COVID. What they've talked about in journals of psychology is that isolation gives way to depression, and depression gives way to mental health issues and can lead to suicide. What we're seeing here in Hawaii and all over the country is an overreaction of fear because people are only holding on to one side of the narrative. They're not holding both in tension. We cannot be irresponsible and just ignore the things that the media is saying, but we cannot not do our homework and hold the other side as well. We cannot let fear dictate our decisions. To put this in perspective, we've had 226 deaths of COVID this year in Hawaii. Do you know how many people died of heart disease in Hawaii this year alone? 4,000. 4,000 is the average of heart disease. So you're 27 times more likely to die of a heart attack or some kind of heart disease than you are of COVID. Yet, we still take our kids to McDonald's. So is the fear rational? I would say that it's not. So we look at what media says, we look at what the data says. What does Scripture say? Scripture admonishes us to live in community. Scripture never says to live in isolation. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Let's read the scripture together at the count of three. One, two, three. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is this habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I believe we're getting closer and closer to the return of Christ. And things are going to heat up, both politically and with viruses and with earthquakes and all the different things that we're seeing. Scripture says, in that context, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Exercise the muscle. Don't let it go into atrophy. Exercise the muscle of relationship and fellowship. Acts 2, 24, 20, 46 through 47, it says this. They devoted, everyone say devoted. Devoted is a word that indicates a commitment and intentional effort toward. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, so getting in the word, to fellowship, getting together, the breaking of bread, communion, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to these things. Every day, they continued to meet together. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with gladness and sincere hearts. This is the record of the church. And I want to take us, and I'm going to close with this. I want to take us to how is the church to respond to a situation like the plague. So this is an excerpt, and it's describing the Spanish flu in 1919. In 1919, it was right after World War I, the Spanish flu is devastating the world. 50 million people died of the Spanish flu. Soldiers went to Spain and France. They contracted the disease. They came back to military base in Kansas, and 60,000 young soldiers, 60,000 young men died because of this disease. Or, I'm sorry, 60,000 young men died in World War I. 700,000 died because of the Spanish flu. 50 million were lost worldwide. The medical community were at the time just trying to figure out how this disease works and how they could keep it from killing more people. And one of the things that they did was they turned Goat Island off of San Francisco. It was a military complex. They turned that into a quarantine facility. And they put everybody that had the disease out on Goat Island. And what they wanted to do is find out more about the disease. And so they asked for volunteers who would voluntarily contract the disease so that they could more carefully study it in a controlled environment from its inception of infection in a person. How many of you would volunteer for that? For COVID? Anyone? I'm going to read an excerpt, and this comes from the Christian Science Monitor that was written, reprinted from the Oakland Inquirer in 1919. It's a California newspaper. I'm going to read straight from this journal. It says, the experiments made at Goat Island, California by Navy doctors in an effort to learn something about the influenza carry a lesson that every person should study and understand. 50 young sailors volunteered to become influenza victims that the doctors might study the disease more carefully. These young men had no fear. Everyone say no fear of the disease. 90% of these 50 young sailors were believers. They were declared Christians, and they volunteered for this study. They were placed with flu patients. They were given jars of the flu germs, which they breathed into their lungs, and they had the flu germs injected into their bodies. And this is the kicker. No cases developed among these 50 sailors. These men had been inoculated. They had been exposed to the disease in every manner, and they had breathed in the germs, eaten and slept with flu victims, and not one of them became infected. The medical men confessed themselves baffled. All their ideas of the disease were turned topsy-turvy. The doctors are still wondering. The explanation, however, is simply itself, for it was proved by each one of these 50 young men. These 50 young men volunteered to act as subjects upon which to be experimented. This showed clearly that they did not fear the disease. And that is what they learned, is that fear has an adverse effect on the immune system, and the absence of fear has a very positive effect on the immune system. When we buy into a narrative that only tells us one side of the story, it's actually self-fulfilling and it's damaging to the thing that we're the most afraid of. And what does God tell us? He tells us that he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. He also encourages us to not neglect the assembling of ourselves together and so much more as we see the day approaching. As we go into this Better Together series, I am not advocating for everyone to jump in groups. I know that there's people that have parents that are very vulnerable to this disease. There's people that for whatever reason, they might have respiratory or heart conditions that they need to be wearing masks as something that's wise. There is no clear answer, but wisdom is to not judge other people and to hold the tension of the truths. And the main thing that we cannot do is be afraid. Take the time to study. Take the time to get both parts of the story and trust God. Make the wise decision and trust God and be obedient to what he puts on your heart. Amen? Amen. We're going to close with this video.
Us in the media. The media. Do you think that we have fanned this hysteria?
The deadly coronavirus outbreak.
To prevent the spread of coronavirus in the U.S.
One thing I worry about, what if the government panics?
Since January, we have been told to distance ourselves from each other. The media has contributed to a level of fear that is not warranted by the data we have access to. Social distancing is turning into social isolation. And this fear is driving up suicide rates, dividing communities, friends, and families, and putting us all at risk of psychological damage. We cannot let fear keep us from living in community. Relationships require work and intentionality. It's time to begin a new chapter. Over the next few months, we want to safely and responsibly begin to shift our focus onto the benefits of community by providing opportunities for our congregation to grow relationally. Which is why we're offering a series of classes designed to help parents bond with their children, couples walk in tandem, grace groups grow closer together, and help individuals enjoy the great outdoors, make new friends, meet new peers, and above all, learn more about Jesus along the way. If you're looking to grow deeper in your walk with God, then our First Steps class would be the perfect place to begin. Some of these classes will be held in safe, small groups. Others will be held via Zoom. For a more detailed list of classes, you can check out our website. To join, you can fill out a Connect card or text us for more information. You don't need to join all the groups, but consider joining a group. It's time to break free of the unwarranted fears we've been corralled into believing. It's time to shift our focus away from isolation and back onto each other. Because when Jesus says, "Follow me," he never intended for you to do it alone.
Wow. Awesome video, Jake. In your bulletins, there is this handout, and it lists all the grace groups that we have, all the connect groups, archery, tennis, hiking, and all the financial seminar classes. Miles is coming up here. We want to give you a chance the next few minutes to fill out this card. You can fill out your information, put the class or the seminar or the connect group that you're interested in. One of the things, I'm going to be teaching an investment class. It's different from the finance class. Investment class, I'm just going to make a plug for it. We're going to cover how, why it's important to manage our own money. It's not for everyone. How to buy and sell stock, how to buy and sell options, how to buy and sell futures, options on futures, and then how to buy cryptocurrency. So that's all going to be covered in 6 weeks and on Saturday mornings from 7:30 to 8:30. So if you're interested in any of that, you can indicate that on your card, and then Miles wants to share. Oh, so this is the teen challenge. You want to introduce them? This is, yeah. So why don't you guys welcome Miles?
I'm going to take a few minutes here. If you Google, 60% of the people in prison is drug-related. And I talked to people in prison, and they say it's more like 80, 90%. Almost everybody there, drug-related. And so it's drugs is the biggest problem in America and Western Europe, I mean, by far. And we have here today the Teen Challenge people here on Maui. They're statewide, but this is a Maui group. Hey, who many have heard of Teen Challenge? Oh, wow. Teen Challenge is the most effective drug rehab program in the world. I think the government programs average 7% recidivism. Teen Challenge averages 68 or 70%. I mean, it's by far. And it's a Christian-based program. We have the guys here, so if you have a chance, say hello to them. I know a lot of people in the church have contributed to them, as have our church. So just wanted to let you know. Billy is the head of Teen Challenge. Raise your hand, Billy, on Maui.
Awesome. So go ahead. You can fill that out if you have not already. And then you can turn it in at the baskets in the back. Connect with some of the Teen Challenge guys. And let's close in a word of prayer. God, we thank you so much for your word that we can glean wisdom from. God, we pray that we would be a reflection of who you are in our community, that we wouldn't hold to one extreme and not hold on to the other, but God, that we would walk in the tension between the two and live lives of wisdom. God, we pray that you would use us to be a light in our community. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling with health conditions, that are struggling with isolation. Lord, that you would grant them peace, every single one. Lord, I pray that we would not make decisions based on fear, but we would make our decisions based on faith in who you are and your promises to us. We ask these things in your son's name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.